Hey there, my friend. It's Trisha Carr. Real quick before we head into this episode, I just want to make sure that you know about Modern Mystic Life, a subscription service for spiritual mentoring and education. The monthly subscription is only $11.11 per month. We have regular support and inspiration delivered with the utmost ease right into your text messenger 2 to 4 times per week. You can use your mobile device or your desktop messenger to access the lessons and meditations, a monthly MP3 download of a produced meditation, at least once per month live meditation led by me. There is no account login, and we have a monthly live class workshop. These are usually $35 for non-subscribers, so it is quite a deal. And the community is amazing. This is a way for you to support the Charmed Life podcast and also a way for us to be able to work more closely together. So do check out how you can subscribe in the show notes. I hope to see you there. Hello and welcome to the Charmed Life podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe, and I am your host. My name is Trisha Carr. This episode is so powerful, heart-opening, expanding, and healing. I have on a very special guest. Her name is Kate Northrup. Everyone, I'm very excited to bring you this conscious conversation with someone who is really a luminary in coaching, writing. She's a fantastic author. And so I'm just very excited. And I hope you guys are feeling the celebration with me to have on someone so genuine and grounded and really luminous. So we'll get into that conversation. I want to thank you so much for being here. And I want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast or follow it, whatever your app says. And I just really want to make sure you understand that I really, really love you. I end this podcast with I love you, whoever you are, because I really mean it. And I want to also make the invitation, if you are inspired by any episode, to share it with someone. I think that that can be a great service to others. This one with Kate, it might be a candidate for that because it really is very healing. Oh my gosh, I could have talked to her for hours. Let me tell you a little bit about Kate Northrup. As an entrepreneur, best-selling author, and mother, Kate Northrup has built a multimedia digital platform called The Origin Company that reaches hundreds of thousands globally. Kate is committed to supporting ambitious women to light up the world without burning themselves out. Kate teaches data and soul-driven time and energy management practices that result in saving time, making more money, and experiencing less stress. She's the author of Money, A Love Story, and Do Less, and the creator of the Do Less Planner System. Kate's work has been featured by Oprah Daily, The Today Show, Yahoo Finance, Women's Health, Glamour, The New York Times, Harvard Business Review, and so much more. She lives with her husband and their daughters in Miami. We get a little visit from one of her daughters at the end. It's really fun. Well, get your heart ready to open wide. Get your breathing regulated because we're going to learn about the importance of that nervous system regulation as a way to actually resource a healing relationship with money and what we are doing, how much doing that we're doing. So I welcome you to this conversation with Kate Northrup, and I will chat with you on the other side. Kate, I am so excited to bring you into this world that I've created, the Charmed Life world, because I feel like you inspire so much magic, so much charm, and you've been doing it for, in a way, as like a pioneer, because I know you've had this illustrious entrepreneurship and been of service for such a significant amount of time. So I'm deeply, deeply honored to have you here. Welcome, and can you just get everyone into the brilliant work that you're doing now? If you like to start there, that would be amazing.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. And anyone who talks about, you know, having a charmed, magical life and sort of mystical experience. I love all of that. So I really ground women in healing their relationship with time and money, specifically through the embodied experience of living here in a body on planet Earth. So nervous system regulation, energetics, feeling states, and yeah, really creating heaven on earth through accessing the power available in our bodies.
That's incredible. It's been so, it seems like it's been triply, tenfoldy more important since we had this whole world event of the pandemic and everything, and a lot of shift in our lifestyles. But you've been doing this kind of work for even before this kind of crazy stuff came up. So that's amazing. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Yeah, I've been at it for a long time. I've been really catching up to the fact that I'm not new. I've been at it in some shape or form, you know, really since for like 20 years, but in its current iteration, close to that since 2009.
Okay. But you started by blogging, right? You're an amazing writer. I love the books that you've published. I feel like they really do heal the money wound that we all seem to have. And women really, I mean, oh my gosh, women really have a money wound in our modern society. But your books are so healing, and all of your writing. But is that right? Do I have that right as I'm recalling it?
Yeah, you're correct. I started as a blogger, and I actually had a different business, and I started my blog as simply an outlet for creative expression. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that a blog was really like a business strategy. And then I started making money from it, and I was like, what? This is amazing. So yeah, that's how it got started. I think I started my blog in 2010.
That's really great. That formula is really the way to build a magical life is to just do something that you love and somehow people pay you. That's great.
Yeah. It's funny because things, I think we come back to things over and over and over again from a higher level of consciousness. You know, sure. It's really this upward spiral, this upward cycle. And, I have been revisiting that a lot as I think about abundance, and I'm revisiting my first book, Money, a Love Story, and my first course, the Money Love Course, and I'm updating and thinking more about money for the first time in a decade. And there really is that element of creative spark and creative expression and the way in which power in our bodies and life force shows up as creative expression, and how creativity is a way that we can make abundance manifest in our life, and that abundance really likes to follow creativity because it's really that pulse of divine life. And so, yeah, it is interesting just thinking about how that was something I wanted to do just for fun and just because it felt good. And then it turned into a six-figure business actually relatively quickly. Which is also kind of cool because I never took a course on like six-figure blogging or even though if you teach that, that's great.
You kind of wrote the course for yourself.
Yeah, it was like write about what you feel like and then talk about things that excite you was sort of my formula.
And that's – I love that you are serving women and especially who are needing to find that – that balance, that center point again, because I mean, I think you work very much with the principles of nature, as I can see in Origin Company, and I do too. And so I'm like, I find so much resonance with your work. You know, we need to remember that we are nature and creativity. I mean, nature is creation, is creativity. So somehow being able to tap into that, what is your genuine, what we're looking for purpose. Purpose is your creativity. The font of your creation, right? And I just love that you're helping people who are already like, I don't know, entangled in the web of all of the craziness being pulled in different places and starting with the simple part of that, like nervous system regulation. Can you expand on the importance of that?
Yeah. So, you know, you spoke about how we are nature. And it's really important to realize that our bodies are literally made of nature. Like we are nature, we are animals. Mm-hmm. And our bodies are wired for survival, which is such a beautiful adaptation. So grateful for that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. But very similar, or literally not similar, the exact same thing as how an animal in nature is wired for survival. That's how our nervous systems work. And so our nervous systems are a whole series of nerves and connections running from our brain all throughout our body that allow us to make micro adjustments without having to think about it. It's a very do-less system, very convenient that we don't have to be thinking about constantly, like, oh, how can I balance on this chair so I don't fall? You know what I mean? Like there's so many things that are just happening. Thank goodness we're breathing without having to think about it. Our hearts are beating without having to think about it. Our temperatures are regulating. There's a lot happening. Beautiful system. We have what's called a range of resonance. So one of my nervous system healing teachers, Tel Darden, calls it a range of resonance. Other people call it a range of tolerance. And so that range of tolerance is kind of how our ability to stay in homeostasis in the face of change. So we have all these kinds of events that happen. You know, you can be driving down the street, and I live in Miami. The drivers here are completely wild. And so I could be driving down the street and somebody just decides to, you know, make a left-hand turn from the right lane would be a very common occurrence. And so that is a moment of stimulus in my life. And my range of resonance with my nervous system is my nervous system's ability to have my body experience something and then be able to come back into a feeling of safety and homeostasis, basically. Mm-hmm. And so when we have a nervous system that was developed in an environment where there was not a consistent source of safety and security, which most of us have some sort of experience from our childhood where there was chaos or trauma of some kind or a lack of stability or not able to depend on things. And so our nervous system set point can be for drama. It can be for stress and pressure, you know, because what we experienced at home growing up is what feels like home to us. Yeah. And so our nervous system will unconsciously recreate scenarios that feel normal, but they're not necessarily healthy. So back to the example in traffic, our range of resonance is our ability to just basically like have an event happen and then come back to homeostasis. But it's impacted, the thermostat of our nervous system is impacted greatly by our early childhood experiences. And if you've had big T traumas, little T traumas, and then we've all had collective traumas and then ancestral traumas, all of that impacts it. So it's quite the web of intricacy. But the take-home message is we can always change our thermostat. And the more we expand our range of resonance, the ability to feel safe and secure, essentially, regardless of what is happening in our external environment, now this is the part that is really, I just like put together. No one told me this part, but I'm pretty sure it's true. The more our range of resonance expands, the more of a tuning fork we are for abundance.
Yeah.
Because as we increase our range of resonance, we increase our magnetism. Yeah. Our signal gets clearer and clearer. There's less friction, less static in the signal. So that's, and there's a million different ways to heal your nervous system, which of course we can talk about if you want to.
I'm smiling and laughing because boy, synchronicity is just, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it amazing? And I'm experiencing it right now because this morning before I came into the studio, my husband and I were talking about just literally that. And he was talking about, you know, our cats are sitting here I was talking about how cats have, they're mostly in alpha beta state. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, alpha brain state, I should say. They have a lot more alpha brainwaves than humans do. And so we were just doing this compare and contrast. And I was saying how we are in fight flight way more often than we need to. And he's like, well, what's the point of, what's the evolutionary point of fight flight? I'm like, well, it's meant to be a trigger, because when you're actually in danger, then you sink into gamma and you regulate very deeply. You know, when you're, when you get into the Zen state, if you are running from a bear, you start to regulate to the bear, you know, or when you're in traffic, as you're saying, if you actually are about to have an accident, we've probably all felt this. We, like, my arms relax really deeply. Yeah,
things get really
slow and
focused and slow.
So that's not actually fight flight. Fight flight is supposed to be temporary trigger to move us forward into a deeper state. But we have an association, because unfortunately, all the things you mentioned, maybe inheriting it energetically, ancestrally, systematically, and the way a lot of us are raised, that the reward or the acceptance of the family is, you come home, the kid's playing video games. You're like, what are you doing? Get up, do your homework. Get up, you know, and it's like the association that being accepted is also being in fear.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we are conditioned to sustain that, or your boss or the whatever else. Mm-hmm. And it's never meant to be sustained. It doesn't actually benefit us, but we're undoing a lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it does take some undoing. It does take some undoing. There was a huge awakening that I had, actually, oddly, after I wrote Do Less, where there was this movement, which has continued, but it was early days of this movement. It was like, I want to say it was maybe fall of 2019 or something. I don't exactly remember the timing, regardless. More and more people were talking about productivity as a trauma response. Yeah. I was just like,
oh. Or perfectionism too. You
know? Yes, like that's what it is. That's what we're unraveling. And so I started to study the nervous system, and I started to study the ways that our default behavior shows up and the ways that our society rewards some toxic behavior. So it takes some extra unraveling. It's, you know, workaholism, for example, is one of the only addictions that is societally celebrated. And so we do have to be, I don't want to say we have to work harder to heal. We just have to be a little more devoted to the process, to know that, like, this, the mainstream cultural signals are probably not the ones we want to be following.
Yeah. And my old job, when I was in like a corporate job, every time, you know, I worked with salespeople, and we would show up on it, and I hadn't seen them in 6 months or something like that. I worked with so many different people on a daily basis. And every time I'd be like, hey, how you been doing? And it was like the speech every time was, been working my ass off. I never take a day off. I work 16 hours a day. And I joke, I didn't actually say this to anyone, but I'm like, and you had a heart attack last year, right? Like, how's that working for you?
How's that working for you? Yeah.
It's the switch of discipline too. It's interesting, because we think we're being disciplined by being highly productive, but I love to look at what the word discipline is about. The root word is disciple. Mm-hmm. To whom or to what are you being a disciple? And so maybe we need to shift discipline to being a disciple to our well-being.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And one of the things that I talk about in my work is, if you really want to get honest with yourself about what you are being a disciple to, take a look at your schedule. Yeah. And what we are doing with our time is what we are being a disciple to. And so if you look at, if you say what matters to you, that's great. But when you look at your calendar, that's what actually matters to you, or that's what you're voting for with your time. So if it's all work, great. Just be honest about that and say, work is the most important part of my life. But if you're saying, you know, it's family, it's my health, it's my kids, it's the people I love, and those things are not on your schedule, then you just need to be honest with the fact that you're not in alignment.
Mm-hmm. You can at least cut out some of that, the pain of the dishonesty within you. I mean, yeah, if your health is important, but you don't have time to move your body or to prepare sensible, healthy meals, or, you know, however you would get them, then it has fallen off the priority list, I guess.
Yes. And we come by that honestly. So no judgment here, like, not at all, but it's wild. Okay. So you mentioned the pandemic earlier. Mm-hmm. I am somebody who, you know, I love to move my body. I was a dancer. I'm a trained yoga teacher. I'm training like every mind, body, fitness thing you can imagine. I just don't teach any of them. So, and I was one of those people who really struggled. You know, it was just like a daily struggle of, I'm having trouble finding time to move my body. And every day it was like, am I going to exercise? I don't have time. I have so much to do. Am I going to, and it just went on and on and on. 2020 hit. Suddenly, so I had at that time a 2-year-old and a 4.5-year-old. I was running my company and like the face of the company. So it wasn't somebody who could just like step away. And, you know, suddenly daycare was shut down. So I had no childcare and I needed to make it all work basically in 4 hours a day. So I needed to work, get my work done that used to take about, you know, 8 hours in 4 hours a day because my husband and I were doing halfsies. And suddenly I started doing this workout called The Class. I don't know if you've ever heard of The Class.
Uh-uh, no.
It's wonderful. Definitely incorporates. It's very nervous system aware. Oh, cool. And I suddenly had time to move my body for an hour every day and also be with my kids and also get my work done. Because there was something about healing my nervous system through that work that allowed me to break out of the limiting pattern of telling myself I didn't have time, which is just outdated programming. Yeah. So it was I didn't like try to overcome the habit. I didn't start a daily, you know, habit of moving my body every day, even though you could totally do that. But I find that my most lasting habit changes have come as a byproduct of nervous system work, not as something that I've embarked on from my brain being like, now I'm going to form a new habit. The habits just happen by themselves when they're being planted in a substrate of that range of resonance, increasing my capacity to feel safe no matter what's going on around me.
So, and the nervous system regulation and the resonance to the capacity to feel safe really speaks entirely to your state of being. Being is what causes doing. It's not the other way around. We think that doing is what makes our life better. Completely forget about the being aspect of it. I similarly, you know, somehow before the pandemic, I had put on some, you know, extra weight and also was moving my body less and less and less and less and less. And so, you know, and then the stress of all of it. And I know how to do this. I've done it a million times and I prefer and I like and I enjoy, but it wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. So I had to change my state of being and then the doing just happens.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. You know, we talk about that in the work I do around money, that the lie that, you know, again, we all sort of believe on some level is that what's going to solve our problems is if we just make more money. Mm-hmm. But I know many, many, many people and have been in this place before where no matter how much more money I make, I still feel fearful and anxious about money. So just like adding more money to a fearful and anxious soil just adds fertilizer to it, as opposed to changing state. So finding that state of calm, finding a state of abundance, finding a state of gratitude, and then witnessing how the doing shifts, how the habits shift. Because what the sort of soil we're planting the seeds of behavior in really matters. It really matters. How we're doing something and how we're showing up matters, I think, more than what we're doing from an energetic level.
And we will be right back. Hello there, it is Trisha, and I wanted to make the special invitation to you to join Easy Intuition and Meditation Coaching. This is a 2.5-month program that is filled with attuning and immersive education to attune you to your intuition frequency and to help you to fall in love with meditation, whether anew or again. I will be delivering this education throughout the week, and on Sundays, we will be meeting for powerful community-based hot seat coaching, as well as live attunements and meditation. There are 3 Sundays in November, 3 in December, and 1 in January. And you don't want to miss this. We start on November 1st. This is when the content is being delivered for you to self-pace and to take into your closet of spiritual development I deliver them in a manner that I channel them or as an offering to be embodied immediately into you. So it isn't a harsh kind of learning. It is an easy learning, and it will activate in you wherever you are in your meditation and your development of intuition. The lessons will find you there and offer expansion. And then our group coaching is going to be so heart expanding. I can't wait. And also, we're going to be digging into human design, self-inquiry, and divination. I wanted to make sure you know that we are extending the registration until November 5th. The content will begin on November 1st, but you can easily catch up if you register before the first coaching date on November 6th. Check out the link in the description of the show notes here. You'll be able to read all about the times and dates and some other things about the program. And I can't wait to see you there. I love you. And now back to the show. Yes, money is a strange partner because, I mean, I feel like I'm in, as you were talking about how we're kind of, I don't remember how you said it, but essentially the spiral journey of healing.
Upward spiral, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in a place where I'm like, oh, I think money is mean and ugly and dirty. I still have some of that in there. And I'm sure, I think that's, a lot of us can relate to that in the money wounding. I would love for you to heal us a little bit, if you don't mind my asking. Give us some of the energetics of abundance and money and how it can be our friend instead of an abusive partner.
You know? Yes, absolutely. So, you know, money really is made up.
It's an illusion. This is another synchronicity. I don't want to interrupt. Fine. This morning I delivered to my community, my platform, a fairy attunement where they're like, hey, money's an illusion. Why not color it the illusion that you want? That's so yes, cool. Money is made up.
Yeah, money is an illusion. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. I mean, the truth is, on some level, we're all an illusion. Yeah. We are all just bouncing around energy, and it's an illusion that, like, matter is an illusion. Mm-hmm. Which we don't really have to go there today, but
I know our minds are like boggling by the second.
We literally don't really exist. Yeah. Okay. But money really doesn't, because, you know, thousands of years ago, people just kind of got together and they were like, instead of trading a sheep for a cow, if I don't want a cow that day, maybe I could just trade a sheep for something that's a stand-in for what I would value. So then I can go down to the market and get some squash or whatever. Right. So it became a stand-in. So money, just currency, became a stand-in for what we value, so we could trade value for value. Mm-hmm. So we really need to understand that money is an inherently emotional topic, because what we value is an inherently emotional part of our lives. And that's beautiful. So anyone who tells you to take the emotion out of money is actually super disconnected from the truth of money. Markets, hello, are completely connected to emotional states of humanity. Mm-hmm. When we are going through fear cycles and contraction cycles as humans, the market drops. Yeah. When we are going through cycles of, and this PS like can be completely manipulated by the media and the government. So that's also all an illusion. Sure. But at least in our daily lives, knowing that money is just made up. Okay. So if money is just made up, maybe I could give it less power over my life and over my state of being. We get to choose our state.
Yes.
And when we are in an aligned state of feeling safe now, of feeling grateful now, we automatically expand into a state of abundance. And that abundance doesn't have to come from how much money is in our bank account. You and I both know people who experience an incredibly abundant life and have a relatively low income. Mm-hmm. And we also know people who have an incredibly high income and experience a life of lack and limitation. Yeah. It is a choice, but it's not always just a mental choice. So that's where the money mindset work in the personal development world, I think, has done us a disservice, because we didn't understand, right? When I wrote my book, Money, A Love Story, no one was talking about the nervous system. no one was talking about somatic healing. No one was talking about trauma in, or maybe they were, it just wasn't nearly as common of a conversation. Now we're understanding, oh, you can't just think your way into a new state. What lives in the body lives in the body. We cannot think our way into healing. We cannot think our way into moving something out of the body. We have to feel our way. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to money, because money is just energy and because emotions are just energy, we can really work with that, just like what I was saying, our range of resonance to expand our capacity to feel safe, worthy, grateful, abundance right now. Right now. Like right now, let's do it. What is something around wherever you are, if you're driving, listening to this, if you're cooking dinner, what is in your current environment or in your current life that's something that could tap you into a feeling of gratitude? Mm-hmm. For me, I've got these three pens. They're just sitting on my desk. They all write really well. And I really love them. And they're a symbol of my creative expression. I love to write. All of these are full of ink. It's really abundant. Like this represents to me just tremendous abundance and gratitude. So when we tap into that, then we're in the vibration of plenty.
Yeah.
And that is available always. On the level of nature, nature is an incredibly abundant system, right? One tree is not trying to take up less of the nutrients or take up less oxygen or less of the carbon dioxide in the case of trees so that another tree can have more. Like there's not this duking it out for, right? In fact, the more and more we learn about the mycelial network and everything happening underneath the surface, the more we understand that it's actually kind of an illusion that any of the trees are separate to begin with because they're all connected. That's true of human beings too. Marianne Williamson says this thing that we are all just waves in the same ocean. Like we are not separate. We're just different expressions of the same ocean. So when we get into this feeling of like, I have this, somebody else doesn't, or somebody else has this, that means I can't. Mm-hmm. That's the illusion of separation. That's when we're buying into the illusion that money is real. It really is just this symbol of energy exchange. And what's true is that there's more than enough for everyone. And what's the lie is that there's lack and that there's not enough. Now, we do have 3D systems of oppression and systemic inequity that do make that seem like super, super duper real, because that's the real lived experience of human beings. And yes, we can tend to that and address it and acknowledge it and work to right harms. And we don't want to focus all of our energy and attention on inequity and the lack, because when we do that, we are further beating the drum of continuing to perpetuate a lived reality that none of us are interested in anymore. Like none of us wants to live in a system of profound inequity. And so it's more important to live sort of the sci-fi reality, like live into the desired future right now and do what we can to create systems of equity and abundance right now to heal the past, illusions of separation and the past illusions of lack. This is a lot of things I said, but
I love them all. Yeah. And the thing is, the separation feels so bad. It is not inside what our organism, what our nature wants to be acceptable resonance. Separation feels bad because it's not true.
Competition. Separation feels bad because it's not true.
Mm-hmm. It feels, it's a lie. And your body, your nervous system, your energy, your emotions are saying no. And that's what that bad feeling is. That's why loneliness feels so bad, or, you know, lack of any kind feels so bad. You know, I got this picture in my mind when you're talking about, you know, over-focusing on the, let's just say, anecdotal bad things, because, I mean, all of the lived experiences happening for one person, when it's happening to one person, in a sense, we call that anecdote. But of course, when it's systemic, then it's becoming more collective. But at any rate, it becomes more empirical then, yes, of course. The resonance as like a fire, and it's like the life force resonance is a fire, and we have to toss the kindling of the things that are, that we need to dismantle or transmute. Mm-hmm. But if we tossed too much of it on it at one time, then we're going to smother the fire, you know? So we have to kind of allow the natural process as we're untangling, unwinding. I think that's a good, maybe the reason that's coming through is because we feel so sometimes overwhelmed by the healing that we have to do. And really it can happen in the moment, feeling a little bit better. And that helps to regulate the nervous system. And that is a healing moment. It is actually changing and shifting your well, I guess that resonance state that you're talking about, the acceptable state of resonance. Yeah,
it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And you know what creates systems of oppression and inequity is lineage of trauma.
Yeah.
And so when one person heals a little bit of that, they are actually making a pretty seismic change, because their body is saying, it ends with me, and I'm not perpetuating this. And so this work like really matters, because if we didn't have all these traumatized people, we wouldn't have war. We wouldn't have people trying to hoard all the power and control other people. We would have a sense of safety and trust and love, because our natural state is safety and trust and love. And so this work does really matter. And I love what you're saying of that, that like changing state and being at a trigger point or in a moment of intensity, and then choosing grounding, choosing breath, choosing opening the heart, choosing taking a beat instead of lashing out, like all that stuff. I really want to turn it back to the larger context, that it makes a huge difference. Like, yeah, it feels good to the one individual for sure, but we're not separate.
Yeah.
So that's the illusion. It's not just you. It's not just me. It's me and my babies, and it's me and my neighbors, and it's me and the people at school, and it's me and my friends, and it's me on the people I talk and that I talk to on the internet. And each of our states has a specific vibration. If it's strong enough, if we're strong enough in that vibration, if we keep choosing it over and over and over again through not only our minds, but more importantly, our bodies and our resonance, we can literally change other people's. Like, they will join us on that frequency if ours is steady enough. We know this. When somebody walks into a room and they're just like in a bad mood or just have bad energy, like it just feels terrible and you don't want to be around them. But when somebody walks in and they are just feeling themselves and they're like charming and wonderful, you just want to be around them, and the whole room changes and it just feels so lovely. We do have the ability to uplift or really depress everyone around us, and we can use that power for good or not. But that really is the healing capacity that we have. So it's for us first and foremost. And then the great news is we can't help but have a positive impact when we choose that.
And you know, it being for you is so important to realize, because I think there's sometimes we think, oh, the highest vibration is the best one and it wins. But no, it's like you said, the steadiest. And so yeah,
it is the steadiest.
Yeah, it's the one that insists, the one that says, no, I will stay, or yes, I will stay, I guess. I remember this one story came to mind of my own life, where I went to, again, in my old job, and I was going to a business meeting lunch, and I had been high vibe, and I meditated, listening to whatever I was listening to in the car. I was happy as can be, and I like these people, and I show up, and they were all sour-faced. And I felt myself choose that. I felt myself go, oh, I better not be happy because they're all unhappy. And I relented. I let go of it. And I felt like dog crap afterward because I'm convicting myself. I chose that. I had a high vibe, but I didn't keep it steady. I chose to give it over because I get my conditioning thinking that if I'll be rejected by the group, that's death.
Like, that's also real. I mean, mm-hmm. we have these wounds of being, because there is like a negative pleasure we get from having commiseration.
Yeah.
And it's a societally learned behavior, again, from childhood, that like gathering around hardship gives you a sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. And that when you are, you know, tall poppy syndrome, crabs in a bucket, right? When you rise into a different way of being, then that's really confronting for other folks who don't have the resources, who don't have the wherewithal, who are just committed to their suffering, whatever, right? And so it is true. Like, we do lose relationships when we choose not to be in a state of drama all the time, or not to be in a state of suffering. So that's real. But then we also need to ask ourselves, like, did I want that relationship to begin with? If this relationship was required me to shrink, is that somebody I want to have in my life? And the only way that we can consistently uplift others is by choosing the steadiness mm-hmm. of our own state of being. And they can either join us, which sometimes they will, or they won't, but at least we've chosen that state, because we are never going to help anybody by shrinking. Right. 100% of the time, it doesn't help.
I know how Esther Hicks says it, Abraham Hicks says, you can never get sick enough to make someone else well. it's simple.
I mean, it's just true. Yeah. And you can never get poor enough to help someone else be wealthy.
Right.
It does, like, that's not how the money system works. And so that's what so many people are operating, as though, like, if they have more, someone else will automatically have less. But money is made up. It's not a zero sum model. It literally doesn't work like that. The United States between the years 2020 and 2021 printed 40% of the money ever printed in all time.
We haven't had gold standard in forever.
Which is not good for the economy, but that's like a whole other conversation. The economy is also completely made up. Mm-hmm. So we just get to choose what economic state am I going to live in? Because there's always an exception.
And the spirit is sort of whispering in my ear, and they're saying the thing that I'm leaving out of the story that was available to me that could have at least offered a bridge is compassion. I could have had compassion for where they were, yet also held my state and seen if there was some way that there was healing between if there was a healing resonance. But I abandoned that. I took shame on instead. I decided to make myself smaller.
Yeah, compassion is always available. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful.
I want to talk about Origin Company, your Origin Company. And I'm saying it like my mom would say, I want to talk about the Origin Company.
Okay. I love it.
Moms either add or delete articles where they don't belong. So anyway, I'd love to hear about your company.
Let's talk about the Facebook. So the Origin Company is my online learning platform where mm-hmm. I bring the tools of cyclical living, feminine energy business principles, money mindset, money nervous system healing, money embodiment work, at my mastermind. So it's kind of like all the things that we do happen over at the Origin Company. And it's really about this core principle of, if we tap into the power of our bodies, the origin, right? Like, where we actually came from is women's bodies. Mm-hmm. And when we tap into the deep wisdom of our origin, everything's possible. We tap into our greatest power in the most sustainable, life-giving way. So that's what the Origin Company is all about. I have a Origin membership for feminine energy business principles, a do less planner for people who want to live their life in cyclical time, which is the truth of who we are, and align our productivity and our time management with seasons and cycles. And then, we offer masterclasses and all kinds of fun stuff.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I love that do less planner with the cycles, because when we hit some kind of a wave where it's a low tide in, let's say, finances or whatever we consider is a source of abundance or resource, low tide is natural and high tide is natural too. And talk about another illusion is our calendar, 9 to 5, 7 days a week. Oh, sure, there's like holidays that we can take a, you know, 4 days off, or if some people only get like 2 days off around the high holidays that we honor. And, you know, and then we have, fortunately, we do have things like kids go to school at a certain time and then they're out. And that adds a little bit, but it's still not real. It's still not organic. It's still not how real natural cycles work. I would love to hear more about it. What is the Do Less Planner like? It sounds fantastic.
Oh, well, I mean, it's right here. It's what okay. I created it because it's the system that I use. But it really has these different sections for tapping into the truth of what's happening with your body. So for example, in the weekly spread, it asks you to fill out like what's happening, where are you in your menstrual cycle? For example, if you are having a menstrual cycle, what's happening with the moon? Are we in a waxing, ramping up phase, or are we in a waning, winding down phase? And just those questions alone can really help us understand, oh, there are four different phases that I go through every month, whether they're in concert with my menstrual cycle or in concert with the lunar cycle. One of them is for rest and reflection. One of them is for planning and initiation. One of them is for connecting and being visible. And one of them is for focusing and completing, so that we can just begin to get into agreement with our cyclical nature and stop trying to force ourselves to be in a linear model where we're the same every day, because we literally weren't built that way. It's just like, that's a lie. And so that's really the core of the Do Less Planner. And then you'll love this part. We have on the weekly spread, creating the universe's to-do list. So instead of starting with your to-do list, you start with the universe's to-do list and really delegate anything that you want support with from, you know, the powers that be, from your ancestors, from spirit, from the universe, from the cosmos, really getting into this place of like, it's okay for me to receive. I get to have divine support and human support. And my worth is not determined by how much I get done alone. You know, alone meaning by myself, but also just like alone.
Yeah. Value. That's the thing that we haven't mentioned is value. Who we are, our worth or our value. And money is not connected to that in any way. Our worth and value is innate because God or spirit universe created you because you were breathed into being. Yeah. And that's what we get to recapture. And I'm going to be a little crude. Make money just your bitch. It's just one of the things that you include in your life, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't need to be the center. And when, you know, of course, the irony or sort of the cosmic joke is that the more we feel our inherent worth, the more we plug into source with a capital S and really get that money is not our source, the easier it is to make money.
Sure.
Because it's just sort of like less attachment, more creative flow, more opening, more surrender, more trust, more creativity. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be like this centering force. But when we really get that our value is inherent, then we get to play. Mm-hmm. And that's really where abundance comes from.
Yeah. You know, with the lunar cycling, I'm a lunar lady. I love the moon. And I love to think about it as, like you're saying, maybe your natural menstrual or your moon cycle. There's also the universal one. Sometimes those coincide, sometimes they don't, but it's like the energy that you're bringing the waning gibbous to the waxing crescent energy. And that's beautiful. So, and everybody else is bringing their different energies. I like that the book is actually paper too, because we actually have a stronger ideomotor response to writing with our hand, even though I rarely do it.
You know what? I am such an analog person. I really am. I'm a list maker. You know, I said I've got my pens on my desk. I love all of that. I do use my Do Less Planner in combination with my Google Calendar, though.
Right. I do that too. Yeah. I have a handwritten journal. So because I'm also trained in handwriting analysis and interpretation. So cool. I like to see what's going on sometimes, but then I also put things on, you know, on the computer because it's easier to find it. I'm like, what's that thing I wrote about the archangels that one time? I had to go through a paper book. I'm never going to find
it. Well, and that's true. There's so many great like technologies and apps now mm-hmm. that can make all of that digitized. So, but yeah, we definitely don't want to rob ourselves of the experience of pen to paper mm-hmm. When at all possible because of what it does to our brains.
Because we're analog beings. I mean, we're, you know, we can't, I mean, I guess we're virtually meeting right now, but it's also really great to walk and sit in front of one another.
It really is. You can't replace that with the digital, even though I'm so grateful. I mean, I run a 100% online business. So.
Right. I want to also ask you about your spiritual journey. We didn't really, I mean, like, what has that been like and how has it fed directly into, I mean, just your life, your mission, your work? Would you mind sharing a little bit about how your spiritual journey, or did you have an awakening, or, you know, what are some of those juicy details, if you don't mind, if it's not too personal?
Yeah, no, it's great. I was raised in a really spiritual household, so I never had a moment of like, we're spiritual beings. Like I was raised, we celebrated the cross quarter holidays, you know, winter solstice, summer solstice, the equinoxes. We did celebrate Christmas, but never in a particularly religious way. You know, I knew growing up that Easter really had its roots in rituals of fertility. Mm-hmm. So I was raised with a pretty earth-based faith. Mm-hmm. And in knowing that, you know, my granny was a hiker. She wanted to be a park ranger, but that was not an available career for her at that time. So she had, you know, she had six kids, but on Sunday she would go to the woods and say to my grandfather, "You go to your church, I'll go to mine." And he would take the kids to the Episcopalian church down the street and she would go to the woods. And I don't know if you've ever read the Celestine Prophecy, but she could see the auras and the energy fields of trees just like mm-hmm. in that book. And so that's the lineage I come from. I think, you know, really like a lineage of witches on some level. And, so yeah, I've been doing moon rituals and reading tarot cards and praying and talking to my guardian angels since I can remember. And now I'm a mom. I have a 4.5-year-old and 7-year-old little girls. And it's hilarious. The other day we were talking about how, you know, my body had made the kids and whatever. And my daughter, Penelope, my older daughter, was like, "No, mama, you didn't make me. God made me and then put me as a tiny, tiny egg inside your body. And then I grew there." And I was like, cool. So it's also just really fun to have little kids and see what they remember from before they came into form. And, you know, my oldest, one day she was in the tub with me and I was pregnant with with her little sister. And, all of a sudden she just started telling me her birth story. And she was like, she was asking about her little sister and how she's going to come out. And I was like, and she was like, "Yeah, mama, here's what happened. It was really dark and I couldn't get out. And then all of a sudden it was dark in there. And all of a sudden I jump out." And she had been born via an emergency C-section after a pretty long labor at home. And I was like, "That's true. That is totally how you came into the world." And so I think, you know, my spiritual practice is wonder and just being open to the fact that like basically everything's a mystery and we basically know nothing.
Yeah. So that's that. And that sounded like one of your daughters just.
She did just come home from school. So maybe I will be out in 2 minutes. I'll be right out, sweetie.
She's like, "You're telling my story. I'm going to contribute." Well, you have an amazing offering that you are – I would love for you to tell us about that.
Yeah, of course. So I have a 3-day virtual experience coming up called Money Love the Revival, which is revisiting my initial course, the Money Love course, which I created a decade ago. I have a little visitor here. And I'm so excited about doing that because it's really taking people through the first steps of healing their relationship with money so that it is no longer a source of fear and anxiety for them, but really a source of abundance and calm and even joy and pleasure. So that is coming up and you can find out everything about that over on my website, theorigincompany.co. So that's Money, Love, the Revival. And it's a free event.
Awesome. Oh my gosh. That's so generous. So beautiful. What an amazing contribution. We have that in the show notes as well as all of the other information. Is there any last thing? You've got a caller there. your sweetie there. Is there any last thing you want to share with everyone as we...
You're in my office using the bathroom.
I love it. I like when the cats pop in the frame or the dogs are barking or the little kids come in.
Here we are at home. So I mean, the best place... Here's what I would say. I would say like, the take-home message, what I really want people to understand is our worth is not determined by our productivity.
Yeah.
And our worth is not determined by how much money we have in the bank. Mm-hmm. And when we can live from that place, knowing that our worth is inherent, as you said, everything opens up. Mm-hmm. So I hope that's been useful. It's been so fun to talk to you. And certainly if anybody wants to connect, you can connect with me on Instagram. That's a great place. At Kate Northrup. I always love to say hi to folks who are new to the community.
Oh, well, thank you again. I could just beam and beam the rest of the day. I'm going to keep this vibration steady. So thank you for, awesome. for so this, much. Kate. Really such an honor to have you on. Thank you.
Sorry about the toilet flushing noise. In the
I think it's perfect. I love it.
Keep it real.
Keep it real. We're going to keep it grounded.
Thank you.
Well, I am going to be at that free event. It starts November 8th. So at the time that we are publishing this, we're about a week out. I believe it's November 8th. Well, check the show notes. It tells you exactly how to join that free 3-day event. It's really like a retreat. It's like an online retreat. And I feel like Kate and I could have talked about some of that ancestral money wounding. You know, we ended with talking about how your value is inherent. And it just struck me. Inherent, and the root of that is inherited, our hereditary. And so I think the money wound is what we're going through now. It is how we are conditioned as a child, as a baby, whether by our caregivers or our peer set or, you know, just the atmosphere of everything. But we really do bring it through in our bones. And Kate mentioned how the person who stops the cycle and says in their body, I'm going to depart from the trauma patterns. Well, we heal the generations going forward, but we also heal the ones going back. And so I just want to hold that awareness right now, because as we recognize that our value, our worth is inherent, that means that we are also flowing that healing back to the ancestors in our lineage, that their value is inherent and still. And what they have given forward to you as we are able to move into a new pattern, a new or even patternlessness, that's what I'm trying to say, in a way that we're living in nature, we're living in abundance, we're living in love, that we can say thank you, we honor what they have moved forward to us. It reminds me of when my father passed. When my father passed, he had this interesting departure where his body was still technically physically alive in the hospital, but his consciousness, his spirit had separated from his body, had not crossed over yet, as we say, and also knew that he wasn't going to go back into the body. And so he was panicking because my father was a person who believed that he was going to hell because of the life that he had lived and because of the way that he had been conditioned to believe that there was a hell that would be taking him. And so as I in meditation, in my trance space, communed with my father, who was in this interbetween, not going back to his body, terrified of going forward. And I was communing with him, you know, as a medium, encouraging him that there is healing for everyone to go forward. And he kind of, you know, he just said, how is that possible? And I just, in my, again, this is happening in trance space, but in my heart, I looked him full on in the face and said, Daddy, check it out. Here's a scoreboard. Me, I'm here and I'm loving you and I'm grateful for you. So in my heart, you are valuable and you can be relieved of this pain. And so, Daddy, yes, of course, if you can look into my eyes as you move, as you back into that light, knowing that this that you have given me, I'm so grateful for, and all is well. And he did, he backed into the light. And so that moment of complete acceptance and gratitude for everything that had come before between us was a powerful expansion of healing. And my dad, you know, he had a hard life. It was really wrought with disease and violence and, you know, disease of like alcoholism and disease of violence, of pain, which he inflicted. But it didn't matter. It's an interesting way to say it. It didn't become matter in that moment. In that moment, the matter that had become in me, all I could feel was gratitude. And so my dad has and had inherent value. So, I went to a different place, didn't I? I just want us to understand the things that are valuable, the things that are important. And money is an illusion of that. And how much we are generating, how much we are putting out as work, really, that's not meant to be the measurement of it. So I hope you'll join Kate's little retreat, her 3-day offering. I will be there. I hope to see you there. And I hope to see you and on my YouTube channel sometime when I go live and connect on Instagram as well. And that's what I have for you in this episode. Thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.